Okay.
Oh.
Damn.
Record is on.
The recording is.
Yeah.
The recording is on now.
Okay.
Is that?
Yep. If I could get everybody's attention, we'll get started again.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, moving on here real quick, we'll just run through with the commissioner's report. But I wanted to real quick welcome everybody back to the room, and I say that jokingly because I failed to welcome everybody to the meeting at the beginning. I apologize. Trying to remember everything I'm supposed to do up here, and that was the thing that slipped my mind. So very appreciative of everybody coming today. We love to have people in the audience. We love to hear everybody's input. It helps us to do our job better and make sure that we're serving the community in all the ways that they need us to. So thank you very much for coming. Last few months, I've been spending some time working quite a little bit in my other role in the blindness community with the Federation of the Blind, getting ready for our state convention. And of course, as part of the state convention, my job there, getting up and kind of giving an update, an annual report from as far as the commission board. So I again did that this year. Had a few opportunities in Lincoln. Some of them were kind of coincidental and some of them were a little more planned out, but we're bumping into some consumers and some staff members and being able to hear some thoughts that they had about the commission and what's going on today and services being offered and so on. So then had some great discussions with some individuals, just like I said, in some circumstances kind of by accident. So kind of a something I was thinking about the other day, reading an email from some of the commission board. It seems like we're never not a commissioner. You're always a commissioner because you never know who you're going to run into, and suddenly that's the hat you're wearing at that moment. So also had a unique opportunity. We've been talking for a year or more about a client management program that the commission has been looking at. And Dr. Van Zandt has talked about it some, and Wes Majerus has gotten up and talked about it some, and that's moving forward. And as Dr. Van Zandt will talk about here in a little bit, it had to go in front of another commission in the Nebraska state government called the Nebraska Information Technology Commission for a review process, and had the opportunity to attend that meeting here last week to learn more about that process and hear their thoughts on the progress of that software and what we're going to need to do to be able to move forward with that. So that was a enlightening, I think, for not only for me but for Wes and Pearl and Bill, just because we've never had to go through that procedure before in any of the projects we've worked on. So. All right, that's what I've kind of been up to. I'll go ahead and pass the baton down to Robert. Do you want the microphone, or are you fine in the way you are?
No, I'm sure I can speak loud enough here for everyone.
Okay.
So since the last commissioner's meeting, my involvement with the commission, as a commissioner and or a couple other ways, was that I attended the fall, might as well call it the fall state staff meeting that was in Kearney, and that was always a good thing for us, the board, to be represented at the staff meetings. Then I also, because I'm a former employee and I have some skills that still at times can be of value to the commission, I did work as an instructor at an adult training program that was held at Mahoney State Park, and I was there for 4 days. That was a great experience. And then here, a couple weeks ago, I was like the moderator of a couple panels. It was part of a employment workshop that was for Omaha consumers, and I again ran a couple of panels one of us of employed blind individuals, and the other one was of organizations that have jobs for the blind. It was out of Nebraska and in the Envision store. That's out on the air base. So and I also talked about the Randall Shipper Vending Program for that particular panel. So that was kind of my involvement as a commissioner since the last meeting that we had here in August.
Yeah. All right, I guess I'll speak up next since I'm next to Robert. Unless Mike wanted to go the other direction.
No, anyway, go right ahead.
Since the last meeting in August, outside of looking for work, I did participate last Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this past Monday and Tuesday in the Omaha office sponsored ESPN workshop. I know that's not the television network. That's the Employment Skills Program Nebraska, I think is what that stands for. And going into it, it was basically a program or a workshop for those looking for work, resume writing and do's and don'ts and interview process and that sort of thing. And I kind of, going into it, thought it was an absolute waste of time. But I did get some things out of it, having been employed 24 years, a good review and all that, good job. So I kind of enjoyed that. I did participate with about 20 minutes notice on Monday's panel as far as employment is concerned, blind folks and so on. I did attend or met an individual at Omaha Marriott for drinks and dinner a few weeks ago at the NFB convention. Got a chance to say hello to Mr. Riccobono there. But the primary duty that I was oversaw was the redesign of our Omaha Chapters CAM program, the Sheriff Air website, that is now live and functional. We are now able to take applications online, as well as, you know, those that won't participate in the program can purchase CAP tickets online. The bulk of my August, September, and first part of October was overseeing that redesign. So what's that? Okay. One more thing. I will be participating next Friday in the Outlook Nebraska banquet. I'll be representing ACB at that banquet.
All right, Becky.
Okay, my name's Becky, and let me see, since the last meeting, I went to a NFB Lincoln Chapter fundraiser at the Salt Dogs, and like Mike was saying, you never know who you're going to run into, and I ran into one of the students from Project Independence, sat right beside her, and she had never met my daughter, and so Katie got introduced to Rachel, so that was kind of fun to have connections between a young student and a college student. And then I also went to the HIMSS technology workshop at the commission a couple weeks ago, and so that was nice learning about different technology that is used, and also visited with some consumers and some staff members there about even what technology they use. And then, of course, went to the National Federation of the Blind Nebraska State Convention and visited with Mark Riccobono and parents and students there, and also met up with a student that was from the PI camp there, too, and his family. So that was fun, meeting up with him and getting to meet his family. So that's what I've been doing, I guess.
Julie?
People are going to complain if I don't use the microphone.
Okay.
Dr.
Van Zandt has it.
Okay, can everybody hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I always get complaints I don't talk loud enough, so this will be better than me feeling like I'm yelling. I attended the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska State Convention this past October here in Omaha. So that was really good, a few days, really connecting with a lot. There was so many people. It was really good to connect with people I hadn't seen in a while, heard some good things about how the commission is affecting people's lives, you know, and how they're able to have the skills to advocate for themselves, internships that young people are doing and moving on with their careers. And they're just really excited. The enthusiasm was great. So it was a good time to be there. And then kind of on an unrelated but still related, this past week I attended a three-day conference in Kearney for another drug and alcohol prevention group that I work with, and it's kind of unrelated, and I never thought going in that that workshop would have any relevance to what I do here, because we were talking about the strategic prevention framework, and I'm sitting there for 3 days, and it's like blah, 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 and the last day, finally, like, everything clicked together. Oh my gosh, this is useful for everything. And it's basically a process of assessment, building capacity, planning, doing your actual program, and then evaluation. And so for me, who I'm an extremely logical person, and we did these logic models, so it was just a really neat way of looking at what you do from a logical perspective and doing it in a logical order and being able to do your evaluation based on your assessment and seeing if you're making progress. So it's made reading all our reports, it comes a little clearer to me now, because I can kind of connect things and see that what we're doing is influencing those numbers. So it was just a good training thing after all. But it took me 2.5 days to realize it was a good training thing. Glad I stuck with it. Okay.
Slow learner.
The microphone light.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Moving down the agenda here, we're going to go ahead and move on to the executive director's report. And Dr. Van Zandt has the microphone. So
all right.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, sir. Gonna set it beside me and see if this. Can you hear me all right?
Okay.
No. No. Okay. Can you hear me now? No. Okay. I'll hold it. There. All right. Very good. Oh, thank you. Dale's gonna hold it. If you get tired, we'll switch off. Thank you. All right. We have a stand. Excellent. We don't have. Hang on 1 second, please. All right, I'll get this adjusted here. All right, can people hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, I love asking that, because if you can't hear me, how do you know to say, no, I can't? Anyway. Well, okay, thank you very much. As always, it's very busy. I wanna first acknowledge two of our new staff members are here today. You introduced yourselves at the very beginning, but I want to especially recognize Monique Orante is here. Monique is the new VR tech in the Omaha office. Yay, Monique. And then also a new VR counselor, Tim Jefferson, is here today. Tim just completed his 4 months of training in the center. Yay, Tim. And besides, we know that he'll be an excellent VR counselor, we also know that he will do wonderful at teaching skills, because 2 days ago, I think it was, I put my shades on, took my cane, and walked from my office down to the center, and Tim was my instructor to carve a jack-o'-lantern. That's something I had never done, and I was pleased. Every year I say, I want to do that with you guys next year, and then I never remember ahead of time. Well, this year they had an extra pumpkin. So it was great fun. I think we'll be posting. Kathy took some photos. We'll put a few of those on the Facebook or website or something. Anyway, he did an excellent job. So really pleased to have both Monique and Tim with us today. All right. The last week in October, Governor Heineman honored Shane Burrish as our Employee of the Year and Sarah Stewart as our Supervisor of the Year, so congratulations to both of them. Mm-hmm. We also, in October, although we did it in September this year, as part of our fall state staff meeting, is our employee recognition and appreciation time, and we are able to provide a token of our esteem to our employees, which include the commissioners. They certainly do a lot of work to make the commission what it is, and so we have some bright red with our logo on them chairs. What do you call it? A folding chair, like a for your tailgates or whatever you may. And we have Robert was at state staff. He got his early as a reward, but we have brought them for the rest of the commissioners today, and we'll be giving that to you a little later. Let's see. I just keep charging throughs. Tim, actually, I have Tim's name wrong in my report. I just noticed. So we need to make sure we change that. Tim Jefferson. Did I say Jefferson earlier?
Yes, you did.
Good. I'm glad. Well, in my typed report here, I have it wrong. Tim, as I said, finished his training. We also have a new VR tech in Kearney on a part-time basis, Adrienne Moody. And we have just hired Kim Schnitzer to be a VR tech, a VR counselor in Omaha. She will be replacing Carol Jenkins, who Carol is now supervisor of our training center in Lincoln. So we're doing some switching around. Kim does not start till later, the end of November, I believe, and so we'll welcome her at that time. Of course, I've been involved with lots of meetings in the past quarter with the leadership team, administration, Dr. Stelter, the organizational consultant, the Lincoln-Lancaster Multicultural Advisory Committee, budget analysts, supervisors, staff, including state staff, and the North Platte District meeting that I attended, Nebraska State Agency directors, departmental people in the office of the Chief Information Officer, OCIO, on various technology issues and projects, and conference calls, webinars with federal entities and national organizations, as well as state-based, including technology issues. We did have our state plan submitted by the due date July 1. Afterward, they came back to us wanting some changes. We did those changes. The plan is now officially approved by RSA, that's Rehab Services Administration, our federal partner. We've been working on a relocation request for Lincoln, the district, the center, and the administrative offices. It is now moving along, and the public notice of the request for proposals will be published November 5th and 12th with a pre-bid meeting November 19th, and then it goes from there. The date of signing approving a bid will be by the end of January, so at least we finally have some dates, and that's moving. Building division is part of administrative services, and that's the entity we work with, that we're required to work with on such a move.
You folks don't have a place in mind yet, do you? Any what you'd like to see or location?
We did look at some possible buildings, but with the request for proposal process, which we are, as a state agency, required to go through, we have to wait and see what landlords or building owners bid, submit. So, okay. Yes and no.
Okay. So you can only choose from those that bid? Is that how that works?
Correct.
You don't get to, go look at, it's not like renting a house. Is it?
Correct.
It's the opposite.
Right, yeah.
Complete backwards, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it takes time.
Yes.
But anyway, so that's in the works. Of course, we'll keep you updated.
So What would happen if none of the proposals were a good fit for what you were looking for?
Yes, good question. Don't know if you could hear. What would happen if none of the bids meet what we need? We do not need to take accept any proposal that we don't want. It would probably move our Lincoln Space lease into a month by month status, which isn't necessarily the best for a big agency, but we have a long-term relationship with the Lincoln Medical Education Partnership, LMEP, which is our current landlord, and so I believe that we'd be able to, I have no reason to think we won't be able to stay there, and they may well bid on the new request as well. So we'll see. Okay, I'll charge on unless you tell me to stop. So it's already been mentioned a couple of times, our fall statewide staff meeting. The theme this time was sharing our best. A lot of times we bring in a number of outside speakers. This time it was really about recognizing our internal resources and knowledge and expertise, and a number of staff people presented on lots of different ideas for teaching and counseling techniques. And we also had a specialized training put on by Bill Brown and Dave Robinson for the business processes and the support staff, VR techs and such, all attended that and felt like that. Both parts of the meeting were very good learning opportunities. We also put together and submitted the agency's biennium budget request that was due into the state by September 15th. And of course we did get that done. We also included a technology project to update our client services database software as a part of our biennium plan. Being technology and also the level of expenditure involved, it had to be submitted as a separate enterprise request. As Michael mentioned, that's a process we haven't done before, and so we did have to get it approved through the NITC, Nebraska Information Technology Commission. Another error I see in my report that I had counsel, but it's actually a commission. And that hearing was held just this past week. They did approve our request, and so that was interesting, even though we established that we have the funding and it's in the beginning stages of the project, but we still had to have that NITC blessing in order to move forward with it. So it was kind of a relief to pass that stage of the game. We also have been in process with a single state audit. That means that the state auditor's office looks at the operations of all the federal grants from the Rehab Services Administration for the general VR and the blindness VR agencies in a single audit. It really is complete. We've completed submitted everything that they needed, including back and forth and on a number of things. We do not have the final audit report yet, but that will be forthcoming at some point. A lot of you know that the Braille Authority of North America, BANA, has set a new course for the use of Braille. Starting January 4th of 2016, the Braille code will be changed. It will be the Unified English Braille, or UEB. So we're looking at how we can prepare our staff, especially counselors that are going to be teaching Braille, to learn the new code. Some will probably want to be certified, others will just want to learn the basics so that they can inform people in a knowledgeable way. We are looking at how we can work with consumers on that whole process. So that's something we'll be contacting. Amy mentioned it, and we'll be talking with ACB as well to see if there are things that we want to partner about for gearing up for that. We'll need to get new Braille books as well as teaching our staff about the new code. We also are exploring a new source for self-employment services. This is an entity called the Abilities Fund that has been working with the VR General Agency for a number of years. They've been extremely satisfied with the value that that service brings to their clients. This is a way to help our staff and our clients who have some interest in self-employment to really learn what all is involved, what and build their own expertise to even see if that is the way they want to go, as well as really get a good footing for starting their own business. So we don't have a project yet, but we are communicating with this Abilities Fund program staff to see what will work for our agency if we go with it. Yes, sir.
So the Abilities Fund is not a program where they have a specific job that they are training people to do, and then they turn you loose, and it's you're doing that as your employment, as your self-employment. It is actually where they're training you to do whatever you want to do as your self-employment. So they're making sure you understand the business practices that need to be followed for accounting and taxes and employing individuals and all those different aspects that go along with self-employment.
Yes, whether you're a florist or a pig farmer, you need certain commonalities of skills.
Right.
So yes, that's the aim.
Okay.
Okay, so then field services, try to hit some highlights. We just completed the fourth quarter of the federal fiscal year, so that goes to the end of September. And so these figures are actually for the full fiscal year, October 1 of 2013 to the end of September 2014. We served 942 voc rehab clients in all statuses. 72 were closed having achieved their employment goals. 56 were closed without achieving employment. That sometimes means they moved or decided they had health issues, or so it's not necessarily unsuccessful, but they aren't continuing to work toward employment at this point. In the independent living track, we worked with 665 clients in all statuses. Of those, 249 were closed, exceeding their goals, and 34 were closed without achieving their goals. In the Center for the Blind, we do have a new supervisor with the center, and we are working very heavily to build that collaboration or connection from amongst the center and the field as all one program. I mean, we are all one big team, and we're working on strengthening that. So the statistics that I used to always give for the center, we're looking at how differently to report that. So I don't have that this time. Our new center supervisor, Carol Jenkins, is doing an excellent job with kind of seeing where we want to go with our center services. We've had three clients had three-day stays, and a fourth just completed a three-day stay at the end of October. That's always a tour of the center is the first step for clients. Then if they're interested, they come for a three-day stay to get more of a feel of whether it's the right thing for them, and then they can look at what they need to do in the field in order to then schedule starting their training. We do have two clients that started the center, four who completed their center training and graduated, and then one staff trainee who completed and finished his training. We've had some significant tours. We always have groups and just interested people coming through for tours. But in particular, this past quarter, the State Building Division came, Madonna Rehab staff, state procurement people, Union College staff and students, as well as two clients, and also the South Carolina Commission for the Blind came. They had contacted me a while back, and then they did come, three staff from South Carolina, came to learn about our center, how it works, and how they can implement some of our strengths in their state. So that was really a nice thing. And then the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, has a new vision program director, and that person will be touring our center sometime soon, I think. I'm not sure when that's scheduled. We've had a lot of activities as usual. Let's see, Bryan nursing students still come several times each semester. And this really is a good investment of our staff time to help new nurses, nursing students, to expand their diversity, understand blindness, get a sense of what blind people can do, and hopefully have an impact in the future. Also, we were recertified by the National Blindness Professional Certification Board. We scored a 96% on that evaluation, and so our new certification will go through September 9th, 2017. The center just had an retreat of center staff the last 2 days, in fact, and so they're working on strengthening the program in our center. My time's up. I'm on page 3 of 9. There's always so much going on in all parts of the agency. I do want to mention some of the jobs that clients have been getting over the past year and maybe even the past couple of months. Some of the jobs that folks have gotten: plant and soil scientist, a beekeeper, custodian, landlord, blind Randolph Shepherd vendor, a self-employed quilter, mental health counselor, riding coach, research surveyor, juvenile diversion coordinator, cashier, housekeeper, voc rehab technician, massage therapist, laundry worker, office support worker, telephone surveyor, restaurant cook, automotive technician, science teacher, customer service rep, dishwasher, elementary school teacher, that's to name a few. I'm sure I left out a couple, but I always love seeing the variety of jobs. We certainly do not try to get people to get a certain kind of job or the first job that comes up. So we've been doing life coach training for staff and clients, and of course technology is a whole big area that we continue to work on very intensively. Our current database system, which we call eForce, a lot of enhancements had to be done to meet new requirements from the feds for reporting, and Dottie Wilmont and Rich Burns, who is from the office of the CIO, are the main ones who put that all together. And Dottie and Wes have been doing training in our offices, which has been extremely beneficial, doing a great job with that. Let's see, HR, let me see if there was anything else I wanted to say about. I think I got all of the staff. And of course, our business office stays very busy. Kathy always has lots of things that she's doing. Oh, I didn't mention, we have Stephanie Wagle is the new, has been a part-time, half-time person in our Lincoln office. With the increasing workload, we have requested to increase her time frame to 0.63 instead of a half-time. That'll be 25 hours per week. And that's in the works, but usually we don't have any trouble getting that, those sorts of requests through. I think I've mentioned the main things.
Dr. Van Zandt?
Yes, sir.
In the section of the report that you sent out to us previously related to the Lincoln District, there was a comment in here about the GATE program, and that's not being offered anymore. What happened to GATE?
Well, they decided this year to do a combined training with other offices, which was mentioned as well in and they held it at Mahoney.
Right.
What I know is that there was a feeling that it kind of was same old thing, or there were fewer people who really could benefit from it, and so they wanted to do the broader geographic approach. I don't know that means we'll never do GATE, the Lincoln Group Adult Teaching, again. That's not something that's, you know, was a decision to stop GATE, but for this year in particular, they decided to, the district, wanted to take that different approach.
Okay. Kind of mix it up a little bit.
Right.
Okay.
Mike, Nancy.
Mike, this is Nancy Floral. Actually, that's true for all of the offices.
Okay.
I know that the North Platte District still had an FYI. Mm-hmm. That's such a huge geographic area. But what we found, rather than having set times for whether it's sales or gates, if we have people with a combination of older blind and VR clients that need a group teaching, we're just going to do those. And we have been doing those. So we decided to try this combination of Lincoln District. I think there was a couple people from North Platte and the Omaha District. And it was really great because I think people got a lot out of that, and I think people have mentioned the benefit of that peer support.
Yeah.
And you know, having that larger group really made a difference. We did find that we would start with GATE or sales with a fairly large group, and it would kind of dwindle by the time we'd start finishing the program.
Okay.
Thank you. And also, that reminds me, there is one other thing I really wanted to mention. Omaha office brought in Dr. Karen Wolf, who's an expert on employment and vocational counseling, especially for transition age. And the Omaha counselors, as well as one counselor from Lincoln, participated. I don't think there were any North Platte that came. So she provided really excellent vocational training to our staff, and also came for a follow-up as well. So I think that was a good opportunity. The new Workforce Investment Opportunities Act, lovingly known as WIOA, has a huge emphasis on transition and pre-employment transition services. And so really, even though we've always been really strong on transition services for youth, we're ramping up even more so. And so I think that was really good for the timing was especially good.
Robert, just all these updates are really, really, they're interesting, they're needed, and it's always great to hear what staff's doing. And So recently, when I participated in the workshop that took place here that Jim mentioned, I mentioned a week or two ago about employment, you know, Connie Daly was here looking, the supervisor of the Lincoln District, she was here looking to see, you know, how this program was set up and how it was working and stuff. And then I learned from her that their many year long employment club workshop thing that they had going like every month, they ceased doing that recently. Because, you know, there's the ebb and flow of people and needs, and sometimes there's just a new approach is needed for consumers as well as for staff. So I know that there's always a need to, you know, to work on that kind of stuff. So it'd just be kind of nice. And I'm sure we do in whatever. This is one way we get reports, you know, from the districts, and that's always nice to see, you know, every quarter. So and I'm sure that will continue. It just was interesting to just to find out, you know, employment-wise, you know, the workshops that are being developed and offered, and I just was curious if we can. I'm sure we will be updated when Lincoln starts something new, and if Nancy's going to maybe do this workshop again, or what the follow-up to it is. Just it'd just be nice to be. It was being kept abreast of that. So anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go right ahead.
You want to stand up and
speak? Sure. Actually, this was our maiden voyage because this program that Dr. Wolf came and presented to us is about, the focus is on pre-employment skills. And so we adapted this program to Nebraska. What the materials she brought us were developed for Maine and originally was presented in British Columbia. So we really had to take a lot of materials and customize it for us. But what it really does is it gets clients invested right from the beginning. They have to come in and they have to write for themselves what their goal is and research and write the particulars about their job search, their job goal, the essential functions, and where are their skills, interests, and abilities and how they align. Do an analysis and if there's a discrepancy. So I think starting with younger people, that's going to be beneficial, but as a whole, it's going to be good. And I know that Connie's looking to implement this in Lincoln, and she sent out a note about that. And I had offered that since Eric and Connie were here, we could have a couple of counselors go and support them as they do that. And then I think Bob Deaton and I were just talking on Friday about North Platte, and we suggested, as we do it in Lincoln, having one or two counselors for North Platte so that we continue to support each other to implement this. I know that Dr. Wolf is very willing to come back and provide additional training. I do think that it will, this whole program, and I have had counselors that have been a part of my staff for a number of years that said this is probably one of the best trainings that they've ever been a part of. And the tools that they got, they really felt like it helped them really understand their clients better, but most importantly, for clients to understand where they're going. And kind of solidify the skills they need and can really drive the development of the individual plan.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Helps with the picture.
Mm-hmm. Just whenever you're ready, I'll let you move right on into the into the budget. And
thank you. We spoke a little more in depth the last meeting about the budget because our biennium request was due September 15th. We requested level funding from the state for us to continue, and I have information, but I don't know that we need to. I mean, we're in process with that. We've had some requests for additional information from the legislative analyst, budget analyst. There's two budget analysts, one in the legislature and one in the governor's office, and we communicate with both of them, and they send us questions, and we go from there on that. anyway, that's in process. We also then, after submitting our level funding, we learn more about the WIOA, and in fact, I think I reported last time too, the federal people in the Rehab Services Administration, they're just trying to, in process of figuring out exactly how WIOA will impact the federal grants for voc rehab. But we did attend a webinar recently and are beginning to learn more exactly what will be involved. And with the increased requirement, not just increased emphasis, but actual mandate that we must spend 15% at least of our voc rehab funds on transition and specifically pre-employment, and of our supported employment funds, we must spend 50% of those on transition. And, you know, more details, but basically, and of all of that part of our budget, none of it can be administration. So, you know, we need to increase the abilities of our counselors to deliver direct services as well as manage the whole program effectively. So there's a process there's a step in the process that agencies can submit what is called a deficit budget request that's due November 15th, and that has to be things that there has to be good reason that you realize there's something that you're at a deficit for that you really need to ask the legislature and the governor for additional funding. We are going to request funding for a transition coordinator. I don't know exactly how we'll title that yet, but that'll be the role of the person. So we are going to request from state funds one FTE that will enable us to do this transition and pre-employment transition services. So that's in the works. It will be done by November 15th. And mostly it's the leadership team that has worked on that. That's Bill, Carlos, Bob, and myself. But of course, with feedback in the last couple of months about what the needs are of staff, mostly from supervisors, but looking at how best we can deliver these services that we're just learning we need to do.
Dr. Van Zandt, a question about the transition coordinator FTE position. Best recollection that I have is that we have a position today, I think in Lincoln specifically, where one of our counselors is specifically focused on transition clients. And how would this be different than that position?
Okay. We don't exactly have a counselor position that is just transition in the offices. From time to time, we may have someone that's their main focus, which is, I think, what you're thinking of. It really isn't specifically funded as transition.
Okay. I was thinking that Amy Burrish's position was specifically transition clients.
Ages ago, there was one transition person in each office, and then that whole thing expired.
We had a fully federally funded grant back in, I think, 01 through 05, I believe, that was a transition grant. And then when that funding went away, one counselor, Amy Burrish in Lincoln, is primarily transition and probably presents as such, but technically I mean, it isn't really, the funding is voc rehab funding.
Okay.
And also that her, the work that she or the counselors in other offices do before transition, that's the direct services that I mentioned.
Okay.
And so it's the, it's kind of beyond that to the statewide perspective. How can we actually implement, even though we already do a lot of transition services, like I said, and you all know, that's always, that's maybe not always, but for years, that's been a key focus of the agency because we recognize how valuable that is. But the way it's structured now with a federal grant, that the reporting has to even be separate as to what is done for transition and a whole new category called pre-employment transition.
Okay.
It's just going to be different. So we need that statewide person to kind of coordinate all of that.
Okay, so we're going to be adjusting our structure to make sure that we abide by new federal guidelines for...
Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it.
Okay.
I don't know if we adjust our structure, but certainly we make sure that we have the capacity to make it so.
Okay.
It's a lot more detailed, but in the interest of time.
Yep.
It's a paperwork thing.
Well, it's a lot more than a paperwork thing, but it's...
So it boils down to that.
How does this person fit in
I don't know that I know that yet, even though it's due November 15th. We're really working on it right now. We literally just learned a little bit ago exactly how, and we still don't know exactly how it's all going to work. And it's not because we aren't informed. I mean, like I said, the federal folks are trying to figure it out right now as well. So
you can always tweak it.
We're definitely in the mix of putting this together as a request in the next couple weeks. And then, of course, it still won't be, it'll go through the approval process just like the whole budget request does when the legislative session starts in mid-January.
Okay.
Tweak it as you go.
Film at 11.
All right. Thank you.
That's Eastern time, by the way.
I think really that's all I need to say on budget and biennium.
Okay.
Well, I'm ready, but...
The next item on the agenda here was the NFB Newsline report, and Jamie Forbes, our state Newsline coordinator, did go ahead and send in a report. Having read that last night, the report this time is really just statistics. Frequently, Jamie will give us an update on new features or maybe some problems that are currently being experienced with some of the state Newsline resources that are available to us. Or once in a while, with much rejoicing, we get to applaud a new newspaper coming online in the state of Nebraska. But this time, her report mainly dealt with how many new people have signed up for Newsline in Nebraska this month and the several months since our last meeting, how many minutes we've read on through the phone and so on. She did mention that there was two new national newspapers or magazines, I believe, that came online, but nothing new from the state of Nebraska. And I know her complete report will be part of the minutes that will be posted on the web here in the next few weeks after the meeting is adjourned. So I will let you all thoroughly enjoy reading all the statistical numbers that she gave us.
I will suggest, Mike, if I can very quickly, yep, that I got a phone call a few weeks ago from a concerned mm-hmm. patron, a wannabe patron of Newsline, and in fact, why isn't Jamie returning my phone calls? And I said, I've had no problem. Jamie and I have a good relationship. We get along, and I have no problem with it.
Yep.
Anyway, long story short, I called the phone number and link, and the mailbox was full. So I said, all right, what I'll do is I will sign you up for Newsline via the web, and get that taken care of. I then promptly shot Jamie an email and suggested she check her messages.
Yeah.
And apparently there was a glitch in the system. She wasn't getting her messages or what have you, but that is supposedly being rectified.
Yeah, I apologize, yes. Jim, in Jamie's report, she does mention that, and she does say that it has been corrected. And she has vowed to, even if she doesn't get any voicemail, or every week, at least once, she'll log into the mailbox and check to make sure that there's no messages there, even if she, even though they're supposed to be being sent to her automatically via email, she'll actually log into the mailbox once a week and double check.
Right.
So that she'll be doing that from now on.
It was kind of one of those deals like Pearl was joking with us earlier. Can you hear me now? Well, if you can't, then you really can't answer.
Yep.
So that was her problem. Too. Yeah.
All right. Next on the agenda is the client assistance program, complaints or issues. And I believe I remember reading in Dr. Van Zandt's report that this period we did not have any.
That's correct.
So
May I mention also that the CAP director has met with the new center supervisor to talk about how to have training about CAP for new staff and clients. She will meet individually with staff trainees toward the end of their center training, and then also she will meet with center students soon after they come to the center, and then again shortly before their training ends, so that everybody has a good understanding of what the client assistance program can do.
Okay, wonderful.
Is that individually?
Individually, yes. Right.
All right. Moving on then, on the agenda would be the Nebraska Business Enterprises.
Yes. Hope you're not tired of my voice. Carlos Servan normally reports on Business Enterprise. He and Connie Daly this weekend are in Des Moines at the National Rehab Association, the NRA, conference. And that's why Carlos is not here. So I'll give you the points that he would talk about. We did hold the NBE, that's Nebraska Business Enterprises, retreat in Grand Island, September 19th and 20th. 10 vendors and 2 prospective vendors attended. Kevin Worley was the national rep from the National Association of Blind Merchants. Dan Sippel was the national rep from Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. And I just spotted another error in my report. It says Randolph Shepherd of America. It's Vendors of America. Amazing what you see when you read something out loud that I myself wrote, but don't catch it when you're writing it. Anyway, they were there to provide information and training to the blind entrepreneurs as well as the prospective ones. Also during the Committee of Blind Vendors meeting on September 19th, just before the retreat, the vendors voted to put unassigned funds into their retirement plan. This is funds that are collected from third-party contracts. We have a few places that we don't have blind managers for the sites, and so we contract out, and then those entities pay the agency. So those funds will go into retirement plans. We do have a new financial planner to manage the investments of the retirement plans, and he's working to help get more blind vendors signed up. There were just, even though we had this really good plan in place, there were very few vendors who took advantage of it. So I think it's already increasing. Also, in June, the Committee of Blind Vendors, in collaboration with the agency, voted to reduce the set-aside rate from 12% to 11.5% from the net of each vendor's earnings or incomes. We did get the Joint Forces Canteen in Lincoln. That's a military facility. And actually, a Scotts Bluff client began operating that facility in Lincoln in mid-August. And the a lot of work was done by the Scotts Bluff Rehab Counselor as well as Don Ward. That was Angie Hoff, worked closely with the vendor and Don Ward to get that canteen going. It's quite an involved facility there, and Antoinette is doing a great job with that. Antoinette Cervantes is the new vendor. Also, we have some very small sites. The VR satellite office in Omaha is being added soon, and a small permits are possible with TSA at the airports in Lincoln and Grand Island. And by small, in all those cases, I mean just very few, like one or two machines, not a lot of people in there. So, but it's still an opportunity to get a foot in the door and a chance for one of the vendors to add to a route, perhaps, to increase their capabilities. We have a possibility. We sent a permit for a new location at Department of Agriculture in North Platte that will open soon. That's also a small operation, but that's in the works. On the I-80 rest areas, we are still in process with our project to replace all of the vending machines to be compliant with ADA requirements. We actually ordered those and wrote procurement for all of those machines some time ago, and it's in process, but I think the manufacturer wasn't complete in making the machines yet, so the project is delayed, but it's all in the works, and as soon as we get the new machines, Don Ward's getting them out to where they need to be, and we're working with the federal funders to make sure we'll have to probably or possibly carry over some funds to as the things come in. So that's all in the works. Also, finally, Carlos, Jan Stokebrand of the vending our agency and five vendors will attend the BLAST conference, which is the National Association of Blind Merchants conference. That's at the end of November. That's in Texas. So they'll be attending that. And that is my report.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and give another chance here for questions, comments. Well, first from the board, if anybody has anything they haven't spoken up about.
Nope, sounds okay. Good things happening.
All right. Another opportunity for the public, if anybody has any questions or comments about anything we've been discussing or about anything in general.
Yeah,
any topic?
I'll bring the microphone.
Okay, all right, I'm on. What is the reason why you want to move the center? I guess I hadn't heard about that. Move the building or move where you have the location? Or is it too big? What is the reason why you're thinking about moving where the center is located?
Okay, thank you. Good question. Should I go ahead and?
You can take it.
All right. Yes, the Lincoln offices include the training center, the Lincoln District, and the Lincoln or the statewide administration offices, where we've been in the 4600 Valley Road for about 18 years now or something like that.
In the 90s.
Okay. We're looking to locate to a place that would be, I don't know, more up to date, just looking for, new, we would make sure it's on appropriate, or, you know, really good on bus routes and good space and more modern type of environment. What really spurred the effort was when we had a flood. When was that? Last June, or I forget when exactly. About a year and a half ago. And really had some issues with mold and damage and all sorts of things. And we started really looking at things at that point. Okay. Thank you for...
Apartments would be the same.
Oh, yeah, good point. The apartments are located downtown about 2 miles away from the center, and so they will stay the same. At least they're not part of this lease. You know, at some point we might look at our apartments as well, but for the moment that we'll keep those where they are.
I know, just to add to what Dr. Van Zandt was saying, I know I had a chance to read through the all the information that was going into the bid proposal that the bidders are going to get, and it's really intricate, I guess, the details that have to go into consideration. There's so many requirements, not just our own, but... I mean, of course, we want things like, you know, easy access to bus transportation. There's lots of concerns about making sure that we can have office space as well as more industrial space for working on vending machines or having our shop in the center. Not every office building in Lincoln is going to be thrilled with having a wood shop. So you're having to find the right fit there, just all the other things that go into it. I was reading through the telecommunication standards. It's like there has to be this grade of wire in the wall, that terminates into this style of jack and blah blah blah, and these are all things that the Office of Building, Building Division puts into it. So this is their standard boilerplate stuff that they put into every contract that's been given to them, in this case probably by the Office of the CIO, and some for the communication wire, and I'm sure there's other groups that put in their comments so that they have all their bases covered. And so not only is it our requirements, but that we're looking to have met, but the state has their whole plethora of requirements that they always insist upon in a in anybody that's bidding to house our office space.
That's right. Cindy, wait.
Okay.
Thank you again, Cindy White. I appreciate your forbearance for a new kid on the block. Two quick questions. One is, could someone tell me the acronym GATE? I'm curious about that. And also, is everything that happens at this meeting today on some kind of electronic media? Is it included in the website? Does that include your complete reports and things like that? Just curiosity makes me ask that question. Thank
sure.
you.
I'll take part of that, and that is that the entire meeting is being recorded, and so if you really wanted to go through and rehash the whole thing, you could download it and listen to it at your convenience at a later date. They'll be kept up. It'll be placed up there in approximately a week or so, and you could download and listen to it. Also, the minutes of this report of this meeting will be placed up there. Included in the minutes will be the full executive director's report that she had sent to us earlier. Any of the materials that were sent to the board regarding the focus topic that we had this morning about collaboration with consumer organizations, those full documents will be included in the minutes. The report from Jamie Forbes on Newsline, her full report will be included in the minutes. So yes, all the materials that we might have
previously read to be prepared for today, you will have full access to those when they're posted online. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, and then I'll answer the acronym question. You only asked about GATE, but also we threw around a couple like SAILS and FYI. These are the adult training opportunities we have for clients. FYI, I'll start out West, is for your independence. SAILS, which Lincoln is who was having, no, SAILS was Omaha, and that's somebody help me know what, anybody know what SAILS, I forget what it, something about independent living skills.
Adult.
Senior. Adventures in independent living skills.
Okay.
And GATE, Bob?
Gain alternatives and experience.
Gain alternatives and experience.
Gain alternative techniques and experience.
Oh,
sorry.
Got that, gain alternative techniques. So, yes, good question, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's like government alphabet soup.
Yeah. It really is.
All right. All right. If there's no other comments, our next.
Is there any other?
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay. If there aren't, the next. We'll go ahead and have a break here for 15 minutes to allow our speaker to arrive.
She's here.
Oh, she is here?
She's here.
Yeah, our speaker did.
There you are. I had this pillar in the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
all right. So
lunch here yet?
Where's lunch?
Nancy mentioned to me about it was going to arrive 11:45-ish, noonish time frame, and I said that we would make adjustments when it arrived.
Very good.
Do you want to take care of some other things after the?
Yeah, I got something in mind that actually only halfway made it onto the agenda that we need to resolve. So.
All right.
So if everybody could be back here by, it's 11:45, which is actually perfect where we're supposed to be.
All right.
So if everybody could be back here by noon, that would be wonderful.
Good job.